Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people of Puzzlem, and everybody else in between. There's so much stuff going on. We haven't even gotten to Arizona State and their situation. So Arizona State has fired Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards has been fired by the Arizona State Sun Devils. So, of course, Arizona State, they lost to Eastern Michigan. They were 1-2, and he was 26-20 overall. But the fact is, Arizona State is under an NCAA investigation, and I like Herm Edwards. And Herm brought some enthusiasm to the program, but the fact of the matter is, it was a strange hire, right? And the only reason he got hired is because the guy, the AD, was Herm Edwards' agent before. So he had an in, so to speak. He had an in. Arizona State is a weird situation because you remember they ran Todd Graham out of town despite the fact that he was winning like 8 games a year and stuff. And Arizona State, bro, like it's one of these deals. Like if you have a coach and he's winning 8 games a year, like accept it. That's who you are. That's on the good end of who you are. Like nobody thinks, oh, how come Arizona State football isn't better? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever woken up and thought, how come Arizona State football isn't better than it is? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, no. Right? Like, they had the Jake Plummer run once. You know what I mean? Like, what was that? Like, 20 years ago? 25 years ago? Whatever it was? 20, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they've never been, like, good. They've never been a power or anything like that. So Herm Edwards is out. Of course, Scott Frost is out. Oklahoma blasted Nebraska. And if you recall, the night that, well, right away when Scott Frost got fired, and even before Scott Frost got fired, I brought up Urban Meyer. And I'm not really going to pat myself on the back for it because, I don't know, bringing up Urban Meyer when there's an open coaching vacancy in the Big Ten is like, you know, It's not exactly a hot take. It's like saying that hookers are going to get work when the Shriners are in town. So, you know, there's talk about Urban Meyer in Nebraska. I don't think Urban Meyer would have thought about Nebraska in the past in a sense of, well, I could do better. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, if you look, he's sort of a glamour guy, right? He always wanted to coach Notre Dame, but there's no way in hell he's ever coaching Notre Dame. So, you know, he coached Florida, he coached Ohio State. He ain't going back to the MAC and Bowling Green. He ain't going to Utah, right? Like, right? Like, there's so he's sort of like Urban Meyer is like literally, he's never going to get hired in the NFL again. So, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. Because if you're Urban Meyer, you're not going to have too many opportunities for a bigger time program. And, like, let's just cut to the chase. It's about the money. Is it about the money? It's always about the money. And Nebraska have the money. Now, listen, Urban Meyer's name is already being connected to Arizona State. There's no way in hell that's happening. Arizona State don't have any money. Like, seriously, they don't have enough money for Urban Meyer. Nebraska do have money for whatever reason. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're talking football. We got a doubleheader coming up tomorrow. Shout out to everybody tuning in SoCal right now on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We're going to talk baseball in a couple of minutes with one of our favorite guests. I know all of our listeners love when Jason comes on. Jason B. Takafin will join us. Jason, former minor league executive of the year, three-time champion, ran the Toronto Blue Jays A-ball affiliate, and you know everybody went through, all kinds of big-time players went through Jason's watch, from Stroman, Syndergaard, and you know all kinds of guys. In fact, the manager, John Schneider, of the Toronto Blue Jays right now, was Jason's manager when they won a championship, I believe, in 2012. So he also worked with the Oakland Athletics, UFC executive, entrepreneur, businessman, GM. So, yeah, Jason B. Takafin joins us. We look forward to talking some baseball before we're done here tonight. We'll go over my picks. We absolutely crushed it over the weekend, but who cares? We'll go over the picks for Monday Night Football. We'll give you some, we'll take a look at the props and stuff and see if anything, you know, jumps off the screen at us that we better bet before the number moves. Our boy Matthias was in attendance today at SoFi. So we've covered SoFi 2 weeks in a row. I was there last week. He was there this week. We'll get his experience as an Atlanta Falcon fan. Because I heard from people that were at the game today. They said there was one Falcon fan there. They said, man, there was this one dude, and he was talking smack like they actually thought the Falcons were going to win the game or something like that. And I would think, no Falcon fan would talk smack and ever think they're actually going to win the game. But let's give credit where credit's due. Good teams win, great teams cover, and the Dirty Bird are now 2-0 against the spread. And that's the thing, man. That's the thing. You look at, you know, mark my words. Listen, we talked about the Atlanta Falcons this year being able to cover point spreads and, you know, and play in high-scoring games. Well, they played another high-scoring game to cover a point spread today. Now, I thought they were going to get drilled. I put the Rams in parlays and stuff like that, so I did okay anyways. But the Houston Texans, this is a team. They're not going to win a ton of games, but they're going to be a covering machine. Jason B. Takafin steps up and in. We talk baseball, NFL, and more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
.com.
Everybody else in between, it's been too long. It feels like it's been like 2 years and not like 2 or 3 weeks since Jason B. Takafin has been with us. We weren't on Labor Day weekend. We were kicking it in Las Vegas. It was a holiday weekend. The following weekend, we were at the Rams and the Bills game, and Jason was at the Seahawks and Broncos game, as well as the Atlanta Braves and the Seattle Mariners series. Big weekend in Seattle last weekend, so we just couldn't make it work, but we're making it work tonight, baby. Let's do this thing, Jason B. Takafin. What's up, Jason?
You take 2 weeks off, and they change the rules. Everything is upside down. Up is down. Down is up. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, don't upset me, bro. There's a lot of positive stuff I want to talk about, and not banning the shift and pitch clocks because I'm scared that you're going to like this stuff. But I'm going to throw that to you later. No, it's great to have you back. Jason's a three-time champion, former minor league baseball executive of the year with the Toronto Blue Jay organization and the Oakland Athletics briefly as well. So, Jason, you got a ton of stuff going on, including a very interesting wild card chase in the National League, man. You know, you've got two spots. You've got two spots for San Diego, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. How do you think this thing's going to play out?
I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. So early on, FanDuel at the beginning of the year had the Brewers at 88.5. And I loved the under only because I thought that they had a really bad end of last year. And while they did bring in Bob Melvin, they did bring in Sean Manaea. I don't think that they're asking a lot to get a team to win 8 or 9 more wins. That's also with Machado having an amazing year last year. Yes, Clevinger was coming back. I'm still going to go with the under. And as such, I think the Phillies and Brewers are going to sneak in. I mentioned a couple weeks ago also, I love the Brewers in this situation. I love that they lost Game 7 in 2018 of the NLCS in their home ballpark. They have not won a playoff round in 3 years. I took them last year to win the World Series at the beginning of the year. And Gabe, before Devin Williams punched a hole in the wall and broke his hand in celebration NL Central, I thought they were going to win the World Series. This year, they're kind of coming up from behind. I think it's a better fit for them. They have Christian Yelich, who's having his highest OPS plus in 3 years, 869 in the second half. Give me the Brewers. Give me the Phillies. And the Phillies, by the way, are going to be a team to reckon with in those playoffs, because if you're going to see Nola, you're going to see Wheeler, and they have Suarez and Gibson on the back end. And oh, by the way, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber's leading the NL in home runs. That is a very tough team to beat in a three-game series.
The Philadelphia Phillies host the Toronto Blue Jays to start the week this week, starting on Tuesday. How do you feel about interleague play this late in the year when teams are playing to get into the playoffs and they're playing against these random, you know, random teams from the National League or American League, et cetera?
I love interleague play in general. I thought they should have gotten the DH in the NL.
Oh, that's another thing we never even got to, you and I. The new schedule, which I actually like. I like everybody plays everybody. That's awesome.
I love it, and I love the fact that the schedule's out 8 or 9 months in advance so people can plan their summer vacations. They can plan their life. I love that. That's the great thing about baseball. There's so much quantity, it doesn't merit its own show and 30-minute special and everyone trying to diagram different weeks, because who cares? And you don't know anything 8 months in advance. Anyways, look, it's very there's a certain benefit you have to, let's say, playing a divisional team now. It is what it is. I would rather each team play in their own league within the last month, just to make the games matter more. And maybe if a team gets hot, they can sneak into the back. Maybe you're looking at, let's say, the White Sox or the Orioles now, 4 or 5 games out now. They go on a heater because they're playing teams in their conference. It is what it is. I'm not crazy about it, but you got to play the schedules. You know, you got to play the schedule that's in front of you, right?
So San Diego, I'm going to give San Diego credit for just sort of staying the course.
Yep.
Right. You know, everybody jumped on their bandwagon a couple of years ago, abandoned ship, double down. Right. This year, and then the Tatis stuff. They bring in Soto. People were back on board briefly. Right. Yet here they still are. It's kind of overshadowed. It's amazing. They're 15 games over 500, but they're still like 21 games behind the Dodgers. So it's sort of, I don't think that it's not like as big of a failure. Let's see what happens and how it plays out. But what a week, man. What games do we have this week, bro? I mean, college football, Jason, sort of had a March Madness feel to it so far this year. It's been lit and off the hook, and you never know what's going to happen. The NFL, bro, as we saw today, it's lit, it's off the hook. You never know what's going to happen. I think baseball gets a chance to return, actually. I've been in football mode. How the hell do we not pay attention to St. Louis at San Diego? How the hell do we not pay attention to the Mets and the Brewers and the Blue Jays and the Phillies, the three teams we just talked about? All great series here.
Absolutely. I really look for, I love that baseball owns the midweek, or at least it should, because it's very hard to compete with football. I know there's 2 Monday Night Football games on tomorrow. I love the fact that we are talking 2.5 weeks out of 3 series that aren't teams playing in the same division. It's not, let's say, if we were talking next week, it's going to be September 30th, October 1st, October 2nd. It's Mets at Braves. That's must-see TV, probably the biggest series of the year so far. I love that these teams are playing each other. I love the fact that the Mets have to go to the Brewers after the Brewers, by the way, just hosted the Yankees. That's kind of fun also. There's a lot of quirks in the schedule too, right? Like Minnesota and Cleveland, Minnesota might be able to sort of back their way or sort of come up from the back. I don't particularly think they will. Toronto, Philadelphia is interesting because those are two teams that like really need to win. Toronto's been on an absolute heater in the last few months.
Could be peaking at the right time, man. Bo Bichette's really coming alive.
He's putting up like Barry Bonds wishes he had a run like this. Bo Bichette, he struggled in his first 3 months relative to his greatness. And Bichette's an interesting character because he led the AL last year. He led the league in hits last year in his first full season. The other 2 years, 2019, 2020, he was excellent. He plays shortstop. It's a non-premium offensive position. And visually, he's kind of a mind screw, as he hits actually like Vladimir Guerrero Sr. in that he swings the bat. He looks like Mookie Betts, and then he plays a position where guys like Macier Itsuris, Cesar Itsuris, Ozzie Smith, little guys play. So he kind of looks a little bit sort of out of place as a shortstop. And then in the lineup, he hits third or fourth. Davey's got a 1,200 OPS his last 28 games. He's fourth in the league in hits. And if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. can get that protection, and we could talk all the one about Teoscar Hernandez, he's amazing. If Vladimir Guerrero Jr. gets protection where you have to throw a strike or you're worried about walking with the next guy because Bo Bichette can hit that first pitch, the Jays are going to be really, really difficult to deal with. They're already going to be a very difficult out in the playoffs. If they make it, they most likely will. It's going to get mighty difficult for teams right now.
It's been a real roller coaster this year for the Toronto Blue Jays, but it's all about peaking at the right time of the season. And let me ask you about the roller coaster that the New York Yankees have been on. So Judge goes deep twice. It's unbelievable. He's two home runs away right now. Like Pujols is two home runs away from his milestone, two home runs away from tying Roger Maris. But are the Yankees back on track right now? I mean, they went through that lull post All-Star break, but there seems to be a spark that has been lit in that clubhouse. And that spark, his name is Aaron Judge.
Yeah, it's a spark. It's a candle. Yeah, I don't think so at all. If we were having this conversation...
You're not buying in, huh?
No, not at all. If we'd had this conversation when they beat the Mets twice at the Bronx, you would have said, okay, this could turn their season around. Gabe, July 8th, they were 38 games over. They're 8 games under since in almost 2 months. They had a 12-6 lead going into the ninth, and the Brewers had the tying run on at bat. They aren't very good. Gerrit Cole, who is usually a pillar of consistency, he is good for a top five in Cy Young. He's not going to be in a top five Cy Young this year for the first time in a long time. And they just have Aaron Judge. And if you're a team that's going to play the Yankees in the playoffs, I don't even pitch to him. Remember when the Nationals played the Cubs in 2018 and Joe Maddon walked Bryce Harper about 11 times in 12 at-bats or something like that? Over 40.
So you would literally do the same thing. You would just say, you know what, we're not pitching to you.
We'll deal with Stanton and his clunky body and just not throw anything over the inside of the plate to Stanton. And that's really it. Why would you let Aaron Judge beat you? He's having one of the – Aaron Judge isn't having a great year. He's not having a milestone year. He is having a top five year in the history of the game, right? You don't pitch to him if the next guy can't stay healthy and the next guy can't stay healthy and the next guy isn't very good. By the way, I'm talking about Anthony Rizzo, Giancarlo Stanton, and DJ LeMahieu. Right.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Like Aaron Hicks, IKF, they cannot hit. Oswaldo Cabrera is a good story. He also cannot hit. You don't pitch the Judge. You literally just look at the manager, you put the four fingers up, goes to first base, sweep on next.
Jason B. Takaffin kicking with a former minor league baseball executive of the year. The late night anger management class continues. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
That anger match request continues. This is Sports Rage. Great to have Jason B. Takaffin back and talk some baseball. We've been swamped with football talk, but don't look now. The NHL season starts in less than 3 weeks' time. The NHL, we're getting ready to drop the puck, and college basketball isn't that far off from tip-off. So a lot of stuff I want to throw at you. So let's just go rapid fire, and I'll just start, you know, throwing fastballs at you here. So Aaron Judge, incredible season right now. What are your thoughts on the tear that he's on and the season that he's had? Because as you stated, this is like some all-time great stuff.
It's all-time great stuff. And I love the fact that he bet on himself. And we talked about it earlier. I even tweeted, and I'm only citing that I tweeted because I'm not a huge tweeter. I don't think he's going to be with the Yankees next year. And the fact that he turned down for a guy who has sort of an injury history.
So you, what about Randy Levine, the president, and all that, saying, oh, he's a Yankee for life?
Well, they had a chance to. I'll tell you this much. If the Yankees were still the capital Y Yankees and Big George are still around, he would be a Yankee for life. And they also would have gone to bat for him in 2017 when he probably should have won MVP, but he didn't because of the Astros cheating scandal. And they probably would have gone.
George would have personally called him in the office himself and said, sit down, Aaron. You're right. And they would have ironed a deal out right now. George would have let it get this far.
And you know what else? If they were still, if the Yankees were the Capital Y Yankees, is Trout would be a given to go to the Yankees. How would they get him? The conversation that we would be talking about is Anthony Rendon has 4 years, $152 million left. He's coming off an injury-prone season. He was out for the year. Is it smart for the Yankees to take him on in order to get Trout to offset a little bit of the cost? That would be the conversation that the Yankees want to take up $500 million in salary because of the New York Yankees, and if you have a chance to get Mike Trout, you do it. That's what the conversation would be. It's not. Trout, Judge, in my opinion, is not going to stay. It's good for him. I love people that bet on themselves. He could have taken $200 million guaranteed. He thinks he was worth more and or he doesn't want to stay. Top five AL season of all time. He is really amazing, and he's doing it without a lot of protection. Gabe, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to lineup protection. I actually think in general the people that you work with can make you better or worse. But he doesn't have anyone who strikes fear in that lineup batting in front of or in back of him. He's leading off. How many people that hit 58 home runs are leading off because he's the best hitter on the team by far, and he has to get the most at-bats?
What do you think happens to Ohtani, who's a free agent after next year? That's a story that's kind of flying under the radar again, isn't it? Like, if you put it, like, we all sort of know in the baseball world, but it sounds insane when you say it out loud. Like, wow, Ohtani is a free agent after next season.
I know, time flies. You know, I think the new ownership of the Angels is going to sign him and give him whatever he wants. He is turning 29 this year. He's going to be a free agent going into his age 30 season. He hits like Mookie Betts. He pitches like Max Scherzer. In my opinion, he's the real MVP, although I don't really want to get into that conversation.
He's getting better and better as a pitcher every start almost, too.
He's on a different planet. He does both. It is really unfair to even quantify him compared to other players. He should be doing – he should be the MVP because no one does that in terms of value. Nobody is also one of the best hitters and also one of the best pitchers. Anyways, if I was a betting man, and I am, I would say the new ownership signs Ohtani very long term. They make a commitment to – R&D, the farm system, they totally redo the way they've done baseball administration because bless their hearts, it doesn't work. I don't like shaming the Angels ownership because they have spent a lot of money. They have tried Josh Hamilton, CJ Wilson, Anthony Rendon. They shouldn't Weaver. They should not be shamed because they've made a lot of big free agent pickups and it hasn't worked. He's a great owner, or at the very least, he's done a lot for the players union. He has set a lot of records with contracts, but someone else will do it better. They will develop players better, and they'll be able to move on.
Jason B. Takifit, kick it with us. Jason, you know that you're pretty awesome when you struck out 13 batters, and that's not even the biggest accomplishment of your day.
I know.
Like, so, you know what I mean? So Jacob deGrom strikes out 13 Pittsburgh Pirate players. He also sets a Major League Baseball record by allowing three runs or fewer in his 40th consecutive game. Such streak since 1913 when the earned run became an official statistic.
Right. So the first time ever, essentially, since they started to actually count runs.
Since we've had stats.
It's so hard to quantify it. DeGrom really is the modern-day Pedro in the sense that he is so much better than the hitter that he is up against. The hitters look the most flummoxed. Pedro Martinez, Bob Gibson, Dwight Gooden. It's not a Maddux or Randy Johnson, even Doc Holliday type where they're just kind of crafty or, you know, they don't blow by you, even though obviously DeGrom throws over 100. But it is – the hitters are so flummoxed. They are not close. That stat is unbelievable. You can even make the argument that, oh, the Mets are in trouble because DeGrom has struggled his last two starts. DeGrom only went six innings and he left with a tie game 3-3. That is un-DeGrom-like. They lost to the Cubs last Monday. He gave a few unearned runs. That is un-DeGrom-like. That's how good he is.
The biggest issue when he pitches is sometimes they don't score. That's the only thing. Like, really, like that's kind of the only thing that holds them back. But really is amazing, isn't it? 40 freaking straight starts, bro.
It is unbelievable. And by the way, he has an out in his contract. He can become a free agent also. Nolan Arenado also has a player opt-out. Last offseason was crazy because there was the looming strike and there was like a bunch of other great players or the looming lockout. This year is going to be absolutely insane because
we're going to have a fun offseason of just hot stove talk and stuff instead of worrying about a strike and everything. We just have a ton of awesome players that are sort of available or will be available or going to be available.
Anthony Rizzo has an opt-out. Aroldis Chapman. There are so many players, Xander Bogaerts. There's so many things that could be. Trey Turner's an unrestricted free agent. There's so many different players, and there's so many different. Also, there's teams like the Cubs. Are they going to spend after a few years of not spending, or at the very least being very un-Cubs? Like, same thing with the Yankees. They have $105 million coming off the books with Zach Britton, Chapman, even Judge. Do they move Aaron Hicks? Josh Donaldson's in his last year. There's so many great storylines, and I'm really looking forward to that. And now with the CBA set, the expanded playoffs set, teams kind of know where they stand, or at the very least, they kind of know the lay of the land. It's going to be incredible.
All right, so you're not buying into the Yankees in the postseason in the American League. I believe that the Astros, it feels like the Astros and the Dodgers are on a collision course.
Yeah.
And everybody's talking about Trout. Everybody's talking about Sosa. Everybody's talking about Otani and everybody else in between. Yordan Alvarez doesn't really get a lot of national media attention. But, man, the guy is just, he's an absolute monster. He's just absolutely crushing it. And he's not the only one. This is just what makes this team so good. How about Framber Valdez as well? You know, so we're just talking about DeGrom. 25 consecutive starts of at least six innings and less than two runs.
You know, that's a very
25, which is a Major League Baseball record. So we're talking about DeGrom. Let's give this dude credit for the consistency. If you're a GM and you know this guy's going to be six innings and two runs every damn time he steps up, hey, you're going to like this guy.
In the American League also. I know they have the DH in both leagues, but the American League is set in the DH. In his division is Mike Trout and Otani and Julio Rodriguez.
Texas have bats. They have a lot of bats in that division, except it's, Oakland.
It's incredible. And not only that, he's in the shadow, for better or worse. Like Yordan Alvarez, he is in the shadow of Justin Verlander. He was in the shadow of Zach Greinke, of Garrett Cole.
He's another one that made history the other night. So much history being made this year, Verlander.
I know. Verlander is 17-3. Dylan Cease is having an amazing career. Verlander is 17-3. And we went over this a month ago, that Verlander was still plus money to get Cy Young. And I jumped on it. Like, I literally could have thrown.
Like Tom Brady. He's the Tom Brady of baseball almost.
He is.
Dude, people said that Verlander lost his stuff about 7-8 years ago, if you recall. Well, he's starting to lose his velocity.
He did for about a year, and then he refound it because he lost a little bit of weight. He got himself into shape. He got a little bit of a jump in his career because he went to a team that...
Yeah, his hot wife was the jump.
he went to a team that is... they're competing. He's playing in big games. He played in the World Series. He won the World Series. There's a lot of sort of adrenaline that goes into that. I still think Verlander's going to win the Cy Young. It's a shame because Otani's probably going to finish third in the Cy Young. He at the very least should. Alec Manoah's having a very good. There's a lot of great players. Verlander should win it, however.
How about Alcantara? Five complete games, which is sort of unheard of in today's day and age. Another old school workhorse type here, huh? What a season he's having.
He would be it. So I thought Zach Wheeler should have gotten MVP votes last year, and he didn't because he had a very similar career to Alcantara. The Phillies were a little bit more competitive towards August, whereas the Marlins are just an absolute mess. And Kim Ng is just going to literally just walk in like Ari Gold with the water gun and just fire everyone and just get everybody out of there the first day. She has her work cut out for her. Alcantara is having a very old school year, four complete games, a leader in earned runs, in ERA, shutouts, batters faced. He's leading the NL in war, which these are very impressive stats. Also, there's a lot of great pitchers in the National League. Max Fried, Aaron Nola, Max Scherzer, Zach Wheeler. There's a lot of great players, and he is by far and away the best player. It's the reason why he was minus like 600 or 700 on FanDuel for like months since he sort of started to get away from the pack here.
Jason B. Takafin with us. Well, we're out of time. We got a minute left. I feel like when you and I talk, it's like sitting at a bus stop. We got to get a lot of stuff in before the bus comes. Like, all right, see you later, dude. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk a little like two baseball fans. So much stuff. But on the way out here, the Dodgers right now are plus 310. The Astros are plus 370. Are they on a collision course to play in the World Series?
I want to because it would be sweet justice, but there's something about the St. Louis Cardinals this year. They're going to have 1-2 MVP Goldschmidt. The key to me is Jack Flaherty. He wasn't very good yesterday or Saturday. He only went five innings against the Reds. He's coming back. Steven Matz is coming back. Jose Quintana went eight shutout innings. Tyler O'Neill's got an 850 OPS over the last month. Gabe, they were six games over at the All-Star break. Now they're 27 games over at the All-Star break. They're going to finish very strong. They got eight versus Cincy, Milwaukee. They would be the number two team to me right now that would be able to beat the Dodgers. I say that as someone who has the Braves to still win the division and has over 91 and a half.
They're 950. We got to get out of here. They're plus 950. We didn't get to Ozzie Albies. So literally in 15, 30 seconds, that really hurts them. Let's be real.
It does. It does really hurt them. They're still amazing. Their rotation goes 4 or 5 deep. The Braves. Their lineup. Vaughn Grissom showing up. He's probably going to finish in the top 5. He's not even in the top 3 in rookies for the Braves this year. They're really.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Impressive organization, Dave.
And no relation to Marquise Grissom. As crazy as that is.
It's hard to believe in Atlanta even. He's even Marquise even from Atlanta. That's what
he's saying. He's a great player. Smart.
I don't know. Gotta go. Oh, bro.
All right.
Hey, I love you, Jason. We'll catch up next week. Right, it's always a pleasure.
Late night actor, Patrick Glass. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's the dumbest bet I ever heard of?
I disagree.
Oh, yeah. Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Race. Thanks to Jason B. Takafin for kicking it with us. Always good with Jason talking baseball. And it's easy. We get caught up in all this football talk, and understandably so. Football. But the season is coming to a close right now, and the playoffs are around the corner, and the playoffs are going to be lit. As good as the Dodgers are, don't kid yourself. You just heard Jason talk about the St. Louis Cardinals, and I agree. I talked about this in the past. You know, everyone says, oh, the Mets. Oh, you know, the Mets in the playoffs with DeGrom and with Scherzer. Yeah, they don't always hit when DeGrom pitches. And when you were just relying on a couple of arms and it's like, oh, you know, we have these two dudes. Like I said, Scherzer ran out. He hit the wall last year with the Dodgers. Now, part of me thinks he was saving some of his stuff because he knew he was a free agent. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not fully sold on the Mets. I think the Mets are going in the right direction. Cohen really hasn't started throwing his money around. He's probably going to go after Aaron Judge. But I'm not writing them off. Like, they're all good. Everybody's good in the National League. Everybody's good. Like, to me, the weakest link is Philadelphia in this thing. And I'm not sure if Philadelphia is going to survive still and get in. We'll see what happens. Big-time series this week, guys. Big-time stuff. Like, you know, like I said, we're focused in on football. But, like, these teams are playing each other and or all these teams are playing good teams. Right, like there's, you know, like basically, look, man, you got the Mets and the Brewers, all right? They're playing a three-game series beginning on Monday. You got the Braves and Phillies playing head-to-head later in the week. The Blue Jays are playing the Phillies and the Rays this week. Like, all these teams that are battling for playoff spots and stuff are playing each other and or they're playing each other sort of rivals. Like, if you're San Diego, like, you know, this is the time, man. You've got to take advantage of this with the Milwaukee Brewers playing the New York Yankees and the New York Mets back-to-back. And especially now, like, this is where if you're a Friar fan, you know, you want Toronto to go in here and mess these guys up. And I think they can. I think Toronto are better than Philadelphia. I'll give credit to Tony Finn. Tony Finn said about a month ago, or 6 weeks or whatever, that he thinks the Phillies will survive this and end up making the playoffs, and I sort of scoffed and said, the Phillies aren't going to be here when it's all said and done, but they're still standing. But it's getting real now. Some really, really cool stuff. But I do agree, just as far as the Cardinals are concerned, the Cardinals give the Dodgers problems. The Dodgers beat them last year, but it's, you know, in a one game wild card, but in a series, the Cardinals are difficult to deal with. You get into the travel. You go into St. Louis, it's a tough place to play. They're baseball crazy. And, you know, they're one of these teams, man. They're like the San Antonio Spurs used to be or the New England Patriots were. It's like every couple of years, the Cardinals are going to make the playoffs and nobody's going to talk about them. And, oh, you know, and every year, same thing. Oh, they were 80 to 1 before. Oh, they were 60 to 1. Yeah, you know. Remember, I talked about them at 40 to 1. I was like, man, we got to get a piece of these guys. Like, it's just such a big number considering how good of a team they are. And when you get into a limited series, you know, with these guys, dude, they've got Arenado. They've got Goldschmidt, right? They've got, you know, Pujols is, I don't care how old Pujols is, Pujols is hot right now. You know, their pitchers aren't, you know, the type of guys that people love to bet props on, but they're the type of guys that win baseball games. But they're a dangerous team. So I understand. I respect Jason's baseball acumen. So I can't disagree. I can't disagree with that. Just so for the record, you can get the Cardinals. They're plus 950 to win a National League. National League odds, Dodgers, plus 125. I think I got the Dodgers at like plus 170 or something like that. Didn't I like a month ago? One night when I won a bunch of money and I went to the casino and everything. And I had... basically, let's just cut to the chase. I was drunk at like 3, 4 in the morning after I won a bunch of money. I put like, I bet $1,500 on the Dodgers to win. I think it was plus 165. I knew, listen, like if you like the Dodgers, the numbers are only going down. But National League, Dodgers plus 125, Mets plus 310, Braves are plus 440. Ozzie Albies got hurt, and he could be out for the year. That's going to affect them. That, you know, I know they're deep and all this, but that he's one of those glue type of guys. Cardinals plus 950, Phillies are 17-1, San Diego are 20-1 to win the National League right now. All right, I want to get into the doubleheader tomorrow and share some of my thoughts and picks if you're just joining us once again and go over some of the prop numbers that have been posted for the game. But our boy Matthias is a lifelong Falcon fan, went to SoFi today to see the game. You told us last week, you always think, listen, you're a homer, you're optimistic all the time about stuff, and we love you for it. And you told us last week you thought the Falcons were going to cover this game and they were going to be in the game and they could win the game. And you were very optimistic. And the Rams were kicking the crap out of them early. And I thought, poor guy goes to the game and, you know, this is what happens and he should have known better. And, you know, I mean, at least you get to see your team come to L.A. I was like, okay. But then the Falcons start chipping away. They score 17 points in the fourth quarter. They backdoored the Los Angeles Rams. The Falcons are now 2-0 against the spread. Matthias, what was your experience like at SoFi today?
It was loud. It was obnoxious. I nearly lost my voice. I got some Rams money in my pocket because I bet a lot of Rams fans sitting next to me when it was 28-3. I said we would come back and cover the point spread. I had a couple of drinks of tequila in me, so that was the tequila talking. But you know what? It covered, so I came home a happy guy with the loss, Gabe. But at the end of the day, I thought the Falcons were going to win that game. When the fumble occurred and the Falcons got the ball back, it seemed like destiny that the Falcons were going to come back and win this game after they were down 28-3. I was convinced. Marcus Mariota throws that pick in the back of the end zone about, 6 to 7 inches higher than Bryan Edwards. Nearly a touchdown, and that's the game. But, you know, they had to dig themselves out of that hole, and that's the problem, Gabe. The Falcons need to learn how to play four quarters of football and not just, you know, leave one quarter, two quarters, one half of football out to dry. Or last weekend, you know, they left the fourth quarter out to dry and they lose the game. So they got to put a whole four-quarter game, and they'll get that W.
It's part of the process right now for the Atlanta Falcons, but there are some positive signs for this football team. As you stated, look, they were better than the New Orleans Saints for three quarters, and they find a way to lose the game. And now today, against the defending Super Bowl champions, they picked themselves up off the mat and came on. Listen, if you're a team, if you're a fan of a team and you go to a game and they covered a point spread, then you won, basically. So that's the way I look at it. Like, I've been to a lot of games. Like, I've been to Bills games when they were bad and stuff. I'm like, yeah, they lost, but man, they covered. And I would walk out with a smile. I'm like, well, at least they covered the spread. And I'd be happy about that. Interesting development after the game. Arthur Smith, Atlanta Falcon coach, is pretty defensive. So basically, Kyle Pitts was only targeted three times today. He had two catches for 19 yards. He was only targeted three times, and he was asked about Pitts' lack of targets after the football game by the Atlanta Falcon reporters, Arthur Smith, responded, "It's not fantasy football. We're just trying to win." Now, I get the "it's not fantasy football" response, and I think it's a fair one, and I'm sure coaches like kind of laugh at everyone when they hear people talk about football, and they, you know, people think that it's just about yards and stuff like that. But, you know, coach, you'll have a better chance to win if the football is in Kyle Pitts' hands. Like, you know, to me, this is just frustration. That's the thing, man. You make these guys do these pressers right after the game and stuff, and they're going to be upset. And they're going to be mad. They're going to say things, right? They're going to say things. That's why they do these things right after. People are hoping they say they get mad. So we're just trying to win, because if he just says, "Listen, this isn't fantasy football," or he says, "Listen, it's not as easy as that. We're trying to get him the ball," right? It's end of story. But by tacking on, "We're just trying to win." Well, dude, you're going to have a better chance of winning if one of the best damn young players in the league actually gets the freaking football. Whether you have to give it to him with a reverse, whether you have to throw him a damn screen pass, I don't care. Get him the football. And if I'm the general manager and I'm Arthur Blank and I'm the owner of this team, I see this and I would tell Arthur, you know, if I'm bigger than he is and I'm his boss, I would basically tell him, "Listen, I understand just what I said. I understand your frustration after the game. But we really do need to get the ball to Kyle Pitts more." Like, basically, that's what I would say, "Listen, but we really do." I'd say they're actually right. Like, there's no excuse for him not being targeted three times. But this also comes back to Mariota, in which he's going to put numbers up. He's going to hang around. You're going to lose. You're going to cover the point spread. But he can't get the ball down the field. Right? So it is what it is. So we've got Monday Night Football tomorrow. The Tennessee Titans beat the Buffalo Bills last year 34-31. High-scoring game. The year before they played, it was 42-16. And we hear people talk. I mean, we had a guest tonight with Babano and Mo Khan, actually. And we talked about the over. "Well, I don't know if Tennessee's going to be able to score." Listen, I know Buffalo's defense was much better against the Rams. Or the Bills, not much better, because the Bills' defense was good last year, except for the last 13 seconds. But they planned all year for that game. Right, like they were tuned up, they were dialed in. Von Miller, you know what I mean, going into the Rams, defending Super Bowl champions. I think the Bills' defense is good, but let's not pretend the Bills are going to hold people to 10 points every week. And also, let's not pretend like the Titans didn't score 20 points last week and should have won the game. They missed a field goal at the end, guys, a 48-yard field goal. Right, and it's funny how the narrative would be different. Let's just look into the facts here. Tennessee will be able to move the ball on Buffalo. And listen, the thing is, they're going to be playing from behind. So Ryan Tannehill in-game props will be nice tomorrow. Because, you know, wait for the Bills to get up and then you hammer Tannehill's passing yards in-game. I think that, you know, that's something to look at. The Bills are playing such great football. Part of me believes that, yeah, listen, they're going to win 38-21. They're on a revenge tour. Don't forget, they've had 10 days off to prepare. Now they've had a bunch of time to prepare for this game. But at the other, you know what I mean, there's also the little voice is saying, listen, the Bills were a damn good football team last year and lost to Tennessee. The Bills were a pretty good football team 2 years ago and got their ass handed to them by Tennessee. So you can say, well, listen, this is a triple revenge, you know, double revenge. You know, this is the third game here in the last 3 years. They're not going to lose again. But let's put it this way. Laying 10 points against Derrick Henry is not like something that I'm really ever in a hurry to want to do. And listen, I'm speaking honestly here. I do think the Bills are going to cover, but that's why I put the Bills in a bunch of money line parlays already. And I got them in the teasers. I do think this game's going to go over. The thing is, when you're laying 10 points, the back door is always open. And the Tennessee Titans aren't like a high school football team. Derrick Henry is still a hard dude to stop, man. And they do have wide receivers. It's a work in progress, their passing attack. But I like the over this game at 47.5. And I imagine it's going to hit at least 48, right? So 48.5. I do believe that the point spread from 10 is going to rise. And Minnesota and Philadelphia, 50.5 is the total. This should be a wild football game. There should be points put up on the board between these two teams. And the Vikings are getting 2.5. We're going to buy the half point and make the Vikings plus 3. but perfect teaser opportunity. Bills minus three, Vikings plus 9.5. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Quick as 180 minutes in sports talk radio. I am Gabriel Morency. Shout out to my boy Scotty Farrell. Don't forget, me and Scotty host NFL in-game live every Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern time. We cover the games in-game. We break it all down. Great times with the man, Scotty Farrell. It's every Sunday at 1 o'clock. We've got a great show tomorrow lined up already. Sigmund Bloom will join us. Great NFL analyst. Sigmund Bloom will step up and in. George Kurtz will kick it with us, and Kurtz going to be in a good mood because the Cowboys won today. Wow. Can you know, man, football is crazy, man. Football is crazy. It's funny. It's funny because I took right at the end today. I like the Seattle Seahawks today. It's my bad. You know, we crushed it this weekend. I'm haunted by this stupid effing loss with the Seahawks today. But I was on with Scotty, and, you know, we give our picks right at the end. And I was like, you know what? I like the Arizona game to go over. It barely went over, but it did due to a miracle. And I said, you know what? Give me the Houston Texans plus the points and the Dallas Cowboys plus the points. And I saw some of the troll types laughing. Oh, Morency's taking the Cowboys today. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, they won the game outright. They won the game outright. And Cooper Rush, we trust. Central Michigan, baby. The Chips. And I got to tell you, now the Giants, this is a different scenario. It's one thing to beat the Carolina Panthers. It's another thing to beat Dallas Cowboys 3-point favorites on Monday Night Football. Even if it is Cooper Rush, but it might be Dak Prescott. And why did everyone say that Dak Prescott was out right away? People need to chill out before reporting things and just get it right instead of trying to get it first. Take the Buffalo Bills minus the points and the game to go over the number. But if you're just joining us right now, tomorrow night is a perfect night to tease these football games. Tease the Bills down to 3, over 40.5. Cash that, and then you're going to cash the Minnesota Vikings tease to plus 9.5, over 43.5. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.